Okay, here we are. Now, for a number of weeks, months, we've been reporting to you that people who are out and about have been smelling things from other people. Different aromas, different odors, whatever you want to call them. And they've been trying valiantly to describe the different kinds of smells they're encountering. And we immediately agreed that what they were smelling were vaxxed people, in all likelihood. Now, that's not to say that unvaxxed people can't emanate odors. They certainly do. We've all run into that. But these are very exotic and ironic kinds of odors. We've watched this carefully, and Erica figured it out. And it's very interesting, and let's watch to see how this spreads among the alt news world regarding the vaxxed. These people are emanating odors, absolutely. And if you look under guests, look for the second hour and click on the first link there, and you go to the page that explains this, okay? Now, there's a table, T-A-B-L-E, of very interesting diseases and the odors that they emit. So this is really old news. It's not new. What happens when people get injected? Most all of you are fairly well aware of the tremendous potential for all manner of disasters in the body. And ultimately, we have to look at AIDS in virtually every case. The immune system will be degraded, and as in HIV/AIDS, and yes, there was HIV/AIDS, there were over 30 what they'd call hallmark diseases that those people would come down with. Anyone who had AIDS, a compromised, destroyed immune system, the door was open for over 30 major diseases, many of which were fatal. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, do understand also, and as we've been saying forever, that people who have received the bioweapon injections are going to end up with AIDS sooner or later, i.e. their immune systems are going to be damaged, suppressed, destroyed by the mechanisms that are unleashed on the body by these bioweapon injections. So first, let me welcome back my stalwart companion and friend who puts up with a lot of stuff out there and does magnificent research. What was your name again? Oh, that's right. I got it. Erica has really, all scientists love to solve mysteries and riddles. And we've, thanks to her, pretty well resolved this one. I think you'll understand. You can read the text there. We're going to talk our way through it and look at the table. And you will understand that what you out there who say and feel that you can smell when you're out among the vaxxed is in fact otherwise known as a VOC or multiple VOCs, volatile organic compounds. And they are being admitted to the environment by the vaxxed through their exhalations, through their skin, and all body fluids, basically. So they are actually emitting odors depending upon what has happened to them within after getting the shots. And that's why the descriptions are different, because different things are being VOC'd and it certainly pumped into the environment. It's fascinating. Let me just read the first little bit here. Smells of the vaxxed explained. Many people are now reporting they can actually smell the vaxxed. We believe most of these odors are likely to be volatile organic compounds, VOCs, gases, being emitted through the skin and all body fluids of those who have been injected. Bacteria also play a role in the creation and dispersal of these odors. So there's the in all likelihood, that is the answer. Yes, you are smelling things. Yes, they're different. And yes, some of you probably can smell a Pfizer as opposed to a Moderna victim. They're different. The aromas are not always exact, but they're different. And again, let me just do the first little bit here also. Those who have been injected with the bioweapon are beginning to suffer the effects of immune dysfunction as a result of the internal generation and persistence of the toxic spike protein. Their bodies struggle to overcome the constant damage being inflicted by this metabolic poison in almost every area of the body. As the blood and the vasculature degenerate, as the blood in the bodies of the vaxxed and their vasculature degenerate, organs and tissues are deprived of the oxygen and nutrients needed to function, while waste builds up and poisons the cells. Over time, organs and tissues begin to die, and a process of literal decomposition begins, setting the stage for opportunistic infections and cancer. And yes, some of the VOCs, we also believe, and you'll read it if you read the whole text, are probably putrescence of decomposing tissue on a small scale, but enough to emit VOCs or otherwise molecular bacterial odors. All right, Chief, take it away.
This should not really be that much of a surprise. When people get injected with this stuff, much of it is very synthetic. I mean, just looking at the vials, these are not naturally occurring substances. So when this stuff is injected, it goes through a process of being detoxified. After it's done its job, that the body has to dispose of it. And initially, it would go through the liver. That's the major organ of detoxification, where these things are converted into oftentimes water-soluble versions, and then excreted out through the kidneys. But part of the problem with this technology and these components is that many of them, particularly the lipid nanoparticles, and I'm going to say also these modified synthetic nucleic acids, are a problem. And the protein that's being produced, the one that we know about, there's, I'm sure, ones that we don't know about that they're not telling us, but that spike protein is also toxic to a number of organs, tissues, and will compromise their ability to function. So over time, you know, maybe they can handle the first shot and their liver and kidneys will do their job and get rid of the toxins. But now you're going to put repeated doses of this really toxic material into the body and expect the liver and kidneys to keep doing what they're designed to do and getting rid of this stuff, while all the while being compromised by the presence of this spike protein and trying to keep up with overcoming the damage that it's inflicting. And the liver and kidneys, we know, are taking a hit. There have been many reports of liver failure, liver cancer, kidney failure, in various degrees thereof. So when those organs of elimination start to falter, the next route of excretion would be the lungs and the skin. And when these synthetic materials start to exit through those orifices, they're further acted on by the bacteria that colonize, well, primarily the skin and to some degree the mouth, but and these bacteria that live on the skin, in the skin, will further metabolize these substances, and in some cases, depending on what they are, what the substrate is, they can be metabolized into some really noxious VOCs, volatile organic compounds. And it's likely that given some of the symptoms that people have when they are around the vax, and number one, they can smell it, but they're also having a range of symptoms that may or may not be due to the spike, but rather these VOCs. I mean, they can consist of nose and throat discomfort, headache, allergic skin reactions, difficulty breathing, nausea, and, lightheadedness. Those can all be the result of breathing in toxic VOCs, and some of them are actually neurotoxic, and some of them can be carcinogenic. So these cases of neurological issues coming from being around the vax, headaches, just general unwellness, and then now we're even having reports of cancer, it will be difficult to fleece out, what's really at play here. Is it these toxic metabolites? These VOCs that are coming off the vaxxed? Or is it the spike protein? Or is it a combination of both?
Well, I think you just said it. It's a combination of both. Maybe we can't rule much of anything out at this point. We can leave the door open and see who walks through. And what we think is happening is well explained on this page. So just click it open and read it, and then look at that chart, the table. Here, just for fun, the table itself has on the left, these are just a few, 3, 6, 9, 12 different diseases. And it has disease listed, then it has source, then it has odor quality, lists the pathogenic microbe that's involved with it, and the VOCs. The volatile organic compounds that are, if someone has, for example, advanced breast cancer, the VOCs will come from the affected area. The odor quality will be of rotting flesh. The pathogenic microbe not determined. And the volatile compound will be dimethyl tryptophide fatty acids. So that's one. Diphtheria, source, body odor. Odor quality, sweet and putrid. Pathogenic microbe is identified right there. They have not identified a volatile compound in that particular case. But the point is, you have an odor quality with each one of these diseases that has been identified and apparently repeated often enough to where it's been accepted as the general rule of thumb of the type of smell, odor, aroma, stench that is associated with that particular disease. Tuberculosis, one form, smells like stale beer. Typhoid fever smells like musty or baked bread. Yellow fever, the aroma, odor, is described as that of a butcher shop. Okay? Smallpox, a sweetish and pungent odor. Scarlet fever, a foul odor. So, gynecological tumors, advanced head and neck cancer, and advanced breast cancer, all described as a rotting smell, which is exactly correct. Now, let's step one portion from this story forward, and that is the shot. So how many things in the shot can lead to, and God only knows how many, I'm just throwing this out there for almost fun, how many things in the shot can be activated and leading to a VOC of some kind or another? How many parts of your body can be impacted and affected by the spike or the LNP to throw off an odor?
Countless?
That's it. That's the word. So the point countless different smells, different odors.
You've got trillions of bacteria that are, are going to be affected. Because, you're not just you and your cells. You are you and your microbiome and your virome and your mycobiome, meaning the fungi that colonize you as well. all of these microbes are going to be affected by what you've been injected with and the resulting protein.
So if you're
there's massive shifts in physiology as a result of these injections.
And if you smell something funky, I think that's kind of a word to the wise or a warning. Get away from it because you don't want to be near that. We don't know what that's capable of carrying. Let's look at that for a moment. What would a VOC potentially caused by the spike protein be capable of carrying?
Well,
is that a part of the transmission process?
I think that the danger with the VOCs is that they, they're a gas. There's nothing to filter out. It's a gas, which explains why masks do nothing in terms of protecting people from shedding sickness, because perhaps, we're not talking about filtering out anything. Where this is a gas. And that's why our one listener in Alberta there was mentioning that she only found relief when she went to a respirator type mask and her shedding symptoms resolved. So that's a very strong suggestion that, VOCs are a part of this shedding sickness. And VOCs can be very noxious. I remember a number of years ago, Good Morning America had some demonstration with, they took a piece of carpeting, which is notorious for off-gassing VOCs, toxic VOCs, and they put it in a fish tank or something with a mouse, and it didn't take any time at all. Once they closed that thing up, the mouse was overcome with these fumes.
Right.
In a very short period of time. I mean, these things are toxic, and they can be carcinogenic. So if you're being exposed to
that... I hope everyone heard that. The gases that can be part of the composition of these VOCs can be carcinogenic. Okay?
Yes.
You may be inhaling cancer. This is not a joke. This is not sci-fi. This is for real.
Well, I think the issue, the worrisome issue here is, okay, you're inhaling these VOCs, which... I mean, there's so many of them, it's hard to know what exactly they are. You can measure them, by the way. You can buy a meter that will measure these things and possibly even identify some of them. But, okay, so they're mutagenic. They cause damage to your DNA. Now, if you've also got the spike protein floating around in your body, we know the spike protein inhibits DNA repair. So... you're incurring damage from these VOCs that, the spike is there, it's not going to get repaired. And the spike will drive inflammation, so there's another promoter of cancer.
We don't want to say that only VOCs are the issue of odor and aroma. There are other things being released by the body, and some VOCs have no odor at all.
Right.
You got to remember that, too. So the body is dumping spike proteins, possibly mRNAs. I don't know about LPNs or LNPs.
LNPs. Well, I think that may, if I had to guess, I'm going to guess the LNPs, lipid nanoparticles, are probably the source of these laundry detergent, sickening floor cleaner type smells.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they never really did determine how these lipid nanoparticles are metabolized. It takes a while for them to leave the body. And how they leave, it was never determined. I don't know that they ever did what they call an ADME, absorption, distribution, metabolism, and excretion, or elimination. So if they're exiting through the skin, fatty acids are oxidized in the skin and the bacteria that live in the skin, on the skin, and as a result, they're going to produce some sort of metabolite from that, and it's likely because these things are so synthetic that they could be generating these smells that are often associated with these laundry detergent, fabric softener, dryer sheet, you know, really noxious artificial fragrant smells.
When we say metabolize, what synonym can we offer people?
Well, it's your body's got to take it and transform it into something less toxic.
Break it down, reformat it.
Break it down, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, and allow it to leave the body. It's either going to use it or eliminate it, and hopefully, you know, a lot of times, if the body cannot get rid of it, it ends up being stored in fat tissue. Because fat tissue is metabolically inert, meaning it doesn't really have much of a function other than insulation.
Right.
And so that's a good place to store toxins.
Perfect.
Particularly, a lot of these toxins that come in are fat soluble, so they can't leave through urine. So they end up being stored in fat. You know, and that includes the brain.
Yes. Let me read a little bit more of the text for those who are just listening. These smells and odors are indicative of a shift in the metabolism and the number and species of bacteria which colonize the human body. It is important to note that even healthy people emit VOCs as part of normal metabolic activity, some of which have no detectable odor at all, as I mentioned. As the various toxic components of the bioweapon injections are metabolized, changed, broken down, dealt with, including modified nucleic acids, synthetic lipids, cholesterol, PEG, surfactants, salts, adjuvants, as well as the resulting toxic protein, the spike, various routes of elimination are utilized by the body. Initially, the liver and kidneys excrete the majority of the toxins, but since all of these components are toxic to the liver and kidneys, they eventually fail in their ability to effectively detoxify and eliminate them from the body. At this point, the route of excretion shifts to the lungs and skin, where they are further acted on by bacteria, which colonize that organ. Depending on what is being excreted, exiting the body through the breath and skin can result in the formation of various noxious VOCs, which enter the environment and can be smelled by others. That's what you're smelling out there. And it doesn't mean everyone's going to smell it, by the way. Some people, I don't know, those who have COVID have lost their sense of taste and smell, so they won't smell it for a little while. Maybe in time, even the vaxxed will smell it, although it is said that it's very difficult to smell yourself. I don't find that hard to believe. The point is, more and more people are reporting the aroma issue, and some are just extraordinary in their sophisticated approach to it. They think they can determine which shot was given to which person. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I have heard that. And funnily enough, people have reported that the Novavax also has an odor to it. Now, the Novavax is not lipid nanoparticles and mRNA, nor is it a virus like the adenovirus. It's just spike protein, complexed with an adjuvant known as Matrix M, which comes from a soapbox tree. It's a saponin. So it's interesting that the spike protein, apparently, and probably the Matrix M is a part of this too, but the spike protein, even if it comes from the infection, is known to alter the bacteria in the body. And when people are infected with COVID, many, many, many do have a particular odor about them.
Well, especially the digestive bacteria. Those are...
Yes. Yes, but I've heard as well, the oral bacteria shifts as well, and people that never had an issue with their dental health suddenly, you know, they have gum disease, like overnight. And that can be the result of a shift in the bacteria.
Like the stories we keep hearing about people looking suddenly 10 years older,
oh,
drawn,
yeah.
Emaciated.
Yep.
This is over a period of a couple of weeks, probably, I'm guessing. But this is a very, very bad bioweapon. Real bad.
Yeah.
Some people may also be using, if you know you have let's say your best friend tells you, remember the old joke, even your best friend won't tell you. What if your best friend tells you, something smells around you, I don't know what it is. Well, some people may well be using cologne and perfumes to try to cover up the noxious odors, further adding to the panoply of smells being reported. There's so many different descriptions. And no, these odors are not the result of pheromones, keep that in mind, or any other normal physiological process. To further illustrate the phenomenon of VOC generation by humans, the chart on this page, and you'll find it, it's right there, look under our names, first link, will make it much more understandable. The diseases have characteristic odors, and it's nothing different with the kill shots. They are creating and causing diseases. Cancers, well, how many stories have we read about people showing up all of a sudden with cancers almost from head to foot? You think they wouldn't be throwing off VOCs? Of course they would. And on and on from there. And there's just too many. So this thing, this shot, is so damned evil, it defies description. And I've been saying that from the beginning, 2 years ago almost. It's crazy.
Now these smells are sometimes in addition to the smell of ammonia. Last week there was a report of, and this has been more than one. Sometimes they smell like a cat litter box, a dirty cat litter box. The cat litter often has a fragrance to it, and then when the cat urinates in there, it's you put the smell of ammonia on top of it, and so
this is the ammonia dinner time for some people, Erica.
No, okay, sorry.
Just kidding.
No, the ammonia though. If you can smell ammonia coming off of somebody, that's generally a sign that the liver is struggling. Ammonia is a byproduct of the metabolism of proteins, and it should be converted by the liver to something called urea and then leave the body through the kidneys. But if the liver's compromised, the ammonia is going to build up. You're going to probably be able to smell it. It's going to ooze out of people's pores. And if it is building up to certain levels, you're going to have cognitive issues as well, because it's really toxic to the brain.
Right.
And as well, if you're suffering from kidney dysfunction, you can have trouble processing ammonia.
Okay, the punchline here, I guess, we should arrive at now. Is there anything overtly that we should really worry about if we're smelling something weird in a room full of people? Is this stuff going to be transmissible through the air? Now, the suggestion part of it is, yes, it's possible. And I mentioned earlier that cancer could be being spread this way. It's possible.
Yeah, there's enough reports here to get your attention. That there's, we can't prove it, but boy, we have cats and dogs that are riddled with cancer now after their owners have gotten the vax and been boosted.
Yep.
And now we're seeing it in people. People that are either living with vax people or working in close proximity to them. I sent you that report. A woman reported... older woman reported postmenopausal bleeding over the past year, and now she's had a recurrence of breast cancer. She's unvaxxed, but she's working in proximity to vaxxed people. So it seems as though if the exposure is often enough and intense enough, that the unvaxxed are running the same risk of this immune suppression that the vaxxed are. You know, anything ranging from shingles, you know, these reawakened herpes infections to all the way to cancer.
And I would suggest that a serious cancer outbreak, it's all serious, would be more than likely to issue a putrescent-like VOC.
Yeah, that tends to be a hallmark. Well, probably depending on how much it's progressed.
Right, of course. I mean, if you've got an open lesion in your body and it's malignant, you got a problem. Big. Okay, was this the one reader that you were able to send? Is that what
yes.
you were alluding
yeah.
to? All right, let me read it formally and comment on
okay.
it again. Thank you. I try every day to make sense of what I and we are experiencing. It's absolutely insane. I cried for the first time I smelled it on someone, a stranger, because I realized what it was. Never understood what that sickly, sweet smell of death meant until I smelled this. Thanks to the awesome people in this group, I was alerted to what I was smelling. Now I stay away when my spidey sense tingles. So, okay, another reason that it's wise to stay away from your vax opposites. And I again say this for the sake of both sides. If you've been shot up and your immune system has been turned into a case of AIDS, which is usually the case sooner or later, you don't want to be around people who are carrying normal viral and bacterial pathogens. You could get them, and you've got no real defense. So that's your reason for wanting to stay away from the vaxxed, the unvaxxed. And the unvaxxed want to stay away from the vaxxed for reasons we've been talking about for over a year and a half now. Disease transmission. Shedding is real. It's extremely dangerous. And the stories are building up. There's more and more of them all the time.
Yeah, I'm a little bit, I don't know, surprised, alarmed that many people that should know better are just not appreciating this as a bioweapon. And you know, to not be addressing the shedding issue as something very serious, to be taken very seriously, is really, I don't know.
Well, it's saddening, is what it is.
You know, the thing is, the people that were smart enough to not take the vax, it's unfortunate that a lot of them are being led astray now to think that, A, there's no viruses, B, there's no genetic material in any of these shots, there's nothing to worry about except heavy metals. Think about it. If you wanted to get to the people that didn't take the vax, and you knew that this shedding thing was happening, how would you do it? Well, you'd convince them with these repeated messages that there's nothing to worry about. There's no contagion. There's no viruses. It's all in your head. Just, you know, alkalize your body and you'll be fine. Think happy thoughts. I'm just going to call it like I see it. That is what's happening. I mean, this is a bioweapon. They are not messing around.
We always try to do this, and it just doesn't seem to stick with even our listeners, some of them, sadly.
No, I think, you know, we've been so, I don't know, just comfortable that we've become complacent and cannot even imagine that this could be happening.
Not us, no. And when she's talking about pH in the body and those who are saying, just get your pH straightened out and that interstitial ocean in your body, et cetera. No, that's not the answer.
No.
I mean, a good pH is fine, but if you eat
people
normally,
have to understand we're not dealing with normal, naturally evolved pathogens in the environment. We're dealing with something that's synthetic, that was deliberately designed to evade our immune systems and take us out. That's a bioweapon.
And if you use
your eyes and your senses at the beginning of this scamdemic, you would have seen that it was never a scamdemic. Yes, the virus was real, but it was never a scamdemic. It could have been managed. You know, the only reason we had the number of deaths that we did was because they denied the early treatment. They're still denying it.
The problem, too, was the virus was not an indigenous to this planet virus. It was a synthesized virus.
Well, it was, and the thing is, it was a virulent virus. It was pathogenic, but we saw who it was affecting, and to think that you could contain an aerosolized virus by locking people down and preventing them from socializing or doing things that would reduce their stress levels, like exercising, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Everything that was that could have boosted people's health and their immune system, they were denied. So, you know, it was not managed the way it should have been managed.
Normal public health was thrown out. It just wasn't.
It was. Every mandate went against common sense.
Yeah. And even Fox News in New York had yesterday mandated that their employees all get shot up.
I know, they're not letting it go. Not letting it go, but
they want dead
anyway,
people.
That virus would have done what it was going to do. There was no stopping it once it was out, but it would have, like SARS-1, been reduced to background levels. SARS-1 never went away. That was always floating around. That study in France found when they sampled about 101, I think it was. Tissue samples from people who had died of supposedly the flu, they were actually finding evidence of SARS-1 in several of those samples. So that never really went away, but it was the dominant virus that was taking people out, vulnerable people out during that time frame, was influenza. But now they've made it so that this virus is going to be with us forever. It's mutating because of this leaky vaccine that's really not a vaccine, so they're allowing it to get stronger and gain a foothold in this population.
That was the plan.
Yeah, exactly.
If they come up with a bivalent version, we're in real trouble because there's a different spike protein that has been made part of the mRNA structure of the Omicron variant vax that they're going to marry up to the Wuhan vax and give you two for one. So you're going to get two spike proteins turned loose in your body, and we don't have any idea yet what the other one's going to do. We barely have
a handle on
what the first one does.
Well, it's toxic. We know that.
And I guess to kind of wrap up the odor thing, if you smell something bad, let it be an alarm for you. Get away. You're too close to other people, if nothing else. Just stay away.
Right.
There's something wrong out there, okay? It doesn't mean if you inhale it or you smell it, you're going to die. But it could be that you're going to get sick. That's shedding.
Yeah.
So don't do it. So take that and try and hang on to it. Don't let it go. I wanted to say that there's an interesting story that you told me about yesterday. That the monkeypox lesions, monkeypox is kind of in recline now. It's laying back, but they did a test. They did a biopsy of monkey. Was it monkeypox? It was monkeypox lesions, wasn't it?
Oh no! Was it? I think it was shingles.
Shingles lesions. Okay,
yes.
And people are still confusing the two, but they're not the same. So. Herpes zoster, and many of you listening have had herpes. You get a bubble, a blister, whatever. They did a biopsy, I guess, on a number of different lesions. And to tell them what they found.
Well, this was in Japan. there was a gentleman, an older gentleman, 60-something years old, had received the bioweapon injections, and he almost immediately developed a case of shingles. And that's a herpes. That's a reactivated chickenpox. It's the same virus that causes chickenpox, but it goes dormant in the body. You never get rid of it. It settles into the basal ganglia. I mean, the dorsal basal ganglia.
It hides
ganglia
out
in
your nerves. It just
and the nerves along the spinal
itself.
Column.
Yeah.
So, in times of stress or immune suppression, this virus can reawaken, and when it does, it follows a neural circuit outwards, and, you know, it generally shows up on the torso, and it's characterized by, it usually only comes out on one side, right or left, and follows what they call a dermatome, a pathway in a dermatome. So you can kind of predict, if you have a dermatome map of the body, where that's going to pop out. So this gentleman had the shot, and like so many others, developed shingles shortly thereafter, most likely they're the result of the immune suppression that happens with the shot. And they put him on, I think it was valacyclovir, mm-hmm. which is it's similar to acyclovir. And it just, he wasn't resolving. So they had to up the dose to three times what the normal amount would be, and it finally started to recede. But in the meantime, they did a biopsy, histopathology on it, and they found that in these lesions was the spike protein. So
how about that, friends? So you think it's not on the surface of the skin? It isn't being released? It's right there in the lesions, if nothing else, and we think there's a lot more going on. But yeah, right there. They tripled his dose. They gave him 3 grams a day, I think it was. Something.
Yeah, it was triple the normal dose, and then it took that much to get it to recede.
To respond. I don't know that we can rule out, or can we rule out, the remote possibility that herpes was somehow programmed into this diabolically evil bioweapon, and it may not be in all cases reactivated from chickenpox. Could there be something else involved? There could be. We don't know. We don't know.
Well, when you look at what's available in terms of what they were looking at for bioweapons, what they have looked at, and one of them is something that will create immune suppression. You know, it may come in the form of a virus or a protein that can knock out a host immune system and cause latent viruses to reactivate. That is described as one strategy of a bioweapon. And this spike protein does that. We know that it binds to toll-like receptors, which these are proteins on the surface of immune cells that surveil the body for foreign nucleic acids, viruses. And when you knock that part of the immune system out, well, there goes one level of protection. So these herpes viruses that are normally kept in check by an immune-competent host can easily reactivate them and begin replicating again and cause misery.
Just keep it real straight. Everyone who has been vaxxed with a real competent bioweapon, I hate to say it, you have AIDS. Your immune system has been, in an acquired sense, made to be less functional. It's acquired immunological deficiency. You have AIDS to a degree. And we think that the manufacturing of spike proteins by the mRNA in the cells could go on indefinitely. We have no idea. They told us, it would be dead and gone in a week or two or some such crap. But we think it goes on indefinitely. And the longer it's produced, the less of an immune system you have.
Well, there's that, and then there's just the derangement in protein homeostasis. You know, your body is designed to You know, every cell produces a specific protein for a specific reason at a specific time, and that's all mucked up.
As these spike proteins go through your circulatory system and any other system, and they meet a protein, one of your body's proteins, they will cause it, through seven different contact points, to misfold. In other words, it will no longer function appropriately. And that protein will go on to cause others, not spike proteins, other normal proteins to misfold. And there's the beginning of your fibrils. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's that. But there's also just this, you know, many different cells have been transfected when you get these shots. It does not stay at the site of the injection to be picked up by, you know, macrophages and dendritic cells. No, this thing goes systemic, and liver cells become transfected. Certainly the endothelial cells in the lining of your blood vessels become transfected, and that begins to produce spike protein. Number of cells.
How about the inside of your digestive tract?
Anywhere.
Yeah.
If it goes to the brain, the brain cells become transfected and begin to produce spike protein. You know, it's the gates are wide open. So now you've got this foreign protein being produced by different organs and tissues throughout the body, and the regulation of proteins is completely deranged. I mean, your pancreas is supposed to produce insulin. Instead, it's producing spike protein. What is that, you know?
This thing is really demonically, satanically, diabolically evil. It is so sophisticated, and it is so inclusive of so many weaknesses, created or otherwise, that you may have. And I'm appalled at how evil this thing is, and I mean the bioweapon. And it is not ever a vaccine. It wasn't conceived to be a vaccine. It wasn't tested to be a vaccine. It wasn't built to be a vaccine. It was built to be anti-life and a killer. And that's what it was deployed to do, and that's what it's doing.
Yeah.
You have to wonder.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You finish, please.
No, I was just going to point out, I don't know what is going on in China. Why? I mean, I have some ideas.
I was
why they're being so obsessive.
Zero
about
policy.
No,
zero tolerance policy for COVID. Zero.
Right. Right. I mean, it's how many cities in lockdown now? And they're testing everything, not just people. They're testing statues, handrails, bicycles.
Fish,
you know, they're
from
doing,
the ocean.
They're doing PCR swabs on inanimate objects. Why would that be?
And they're testing fish with PCR swabs, too. Fish from the ocean, live fish. They're testing everything.
I think either they've lost their marbles or they know something.
Probably the former. They know that the spike, if it gets loose, they're going to have hell to pay with 1.4 billion people. They will not allow it. They shut down Shanghai, a city of 25 million people, on the basis of, what was it, 6 cases?
Yeah.
Something crazy like that. So, no, I think they know damn well what's going on, and they are not going to go down easily. They're going to shut everything down and make everybody stay out. Off the streets, out of circulation.
Right.
So I think they know. Remember what the CCP video said? Yes, we have the antidote. But we're not going to give it to the Americans.
Yeah. I'm sure they do. You know, there are ways to, prevent this virus from taking up residence in somebody.
Right.
And right now, ivermectin seems to be the best bet, but I'm sure they have some kind of small molecule fusion inhibitor that would stop this thing in its tracks if you got it. But
no, they never would have released it unless they had an antidote for it. That's just
right.
How people think. Evil bastards. Just incredible. We're just watching, collating, collecting, and reporting what we're able to find in papers, presentations, and it's very sad to see the alt-news world so penetrated and permeated with frauds. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
No names needed. There are people out there, and one of the giveaways is if they all of a sudden appear and they have a superstore full of supplements at incredibly high prices, and I don't care if the prices are high or low. If they're selling supplements from a big store or a medium-sized store to people who are afraid and scared, how moral is that? Rather than just tell them what to get at a lower price, perhaps, or whatever. These are hucksters, and they're making money on people in a way that they should never do. It's just, it makes me, I got to shut up here. I don't like it at all.
No, but so. I, again, there's a desire to believe that, you know, the risk is over. And I say no. The risk is still very much there. And now we're not only dealing. The virus is still here. The virus hasn't gone anywhere. So we have that, and we also have our fellow human beings who have taken the shot and are now churning out a lethal protein.
Lots of it, 24/7. And these people who keep saying, "Gee, I've met someone who's vaxxed." Do you think I should go out with her or him? An opposite vax status. The answer is no. Not if you want to stay healthy. It's your life.
No.
Do
yeah.
what you want with it.
There's been enough reports of the, I mean, people suffering, males and females, that have been intimate with vaxxed people, and you know, that one woman, young woman, ended up with leukemia.
Yep.
You know, had first developed uncontrollable bleeding, uterine bleeding, and then was diagnosed with leukemia probably within a month, I want to say.
Yep.
And then there was a guy that was intimate with some vaxxed woman, and he ended up in the hospital with blood clots and
that's all it takes.
Stroke.
Dear friends, you see, that's all it takes. I think he did have a stroke.
He was pretty messed up. I think, you know, for
oh yeah, just shared body fluids and pick things at direct skin contact, and look what happens. I mean, it's almost like you might as well be vaxxed.
In some cases, yes.
All right, we better wrap this program up tonight and thank everyone out there again for listening and paying attention. Listen to it twice, two or three times. We don't claim to have all the answers, all the truth, but we do present the best reality we can possibly come up with for you to do with as you will. That's the name of journalism, and that's what we're doing. Thank you, Miss Erica.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure. Good night, everyone.
Okay, gang, we'll be right back with Mitch Henderson as we continue to watch Ukraine getting worse and worse. Back in a few.